Welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you today. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado during the slow but steady decline of the Christian influence in the West and the unraveling of Western civilization. And Bill Jack from Worldview Academy in studio with us today. We live in interesting times, Bill, some of the most engaging times in all of human history. Of course, things are never boring in God's story and history. And so it's just a privilege that we can play a part of this on the front lines of the worldview war.
Yeah, this is an interesting time in which to live, because it is a time when Christians can speak truth boldly into the culture. And we need to be creative in ways that we do that. We do not need to compromise on the Word of God, but we need to be creative in ways that we communicate effectively, because in effect, we live in a foreign land.
Yeah, okay? We do. And yeah. We're training our kids in the foreign land to bring down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God in Christ. We want them to engage the ideas. We want them to do it with truth and grace, and we want them to be firmly rooted in a biblical way of thinking. We want them discipled in the ways of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this, of course, means that we will establish something of islands of culture, islands of education, islands of freedom for our children, to protect them from the Muslim madrasas or the humanist schools, either one. Now, it turns out that England is far further down the pike than we are on this. Of course, church attendance there now 2.5%. And we could look for something like this as well. National Review did this article on how Amanda Spielman, an infamous name in the minds of the few Christians left in England. Amanda Spielman is England's chief regulator of schools, and she is, quote, waging war against religious schools. Her regulators penalized a Jewish school for girls under the age of 8. Apparently, they were not teaching pupils about gender reassignment and sexualities. So these Jewish schools are in a heap of trouble.
Now,
they've received citations from Amanda Spielman and
private,
her regulators.
These are private schools.
They are private schools, yes. In England, apparently, they regulate private and public schools. No word about Christian schools. I don't know if there's a Christian school in England. I know there are a few homeschoolers. They order our material from our Christian discipleship program. But generally, I don't think there are Christian schools left in England, but there are some Jewish schools, and the Jewish schools are in trouble because they're not teaching the little 8-year-old girls the gender fluidity / gender chaos, and they are not encouraging the little 8- and 9-year-old girls to the suicidal culture of the day.
Yeah.
So they're in trouble. And apparently, this is one more point. Is that she gave a speech. This is Spielman gave a speech to the Church of England, their foundation for educational leadership. And she suggested, get this, that the inspectors, her inspectors, okay, apparently have all these little bureau rats that run around inspecting schools.
Of course.
She wants her little bureau rats being allowed to monitor Sunday schools in order to weed out the radical elements promoting, quote unquote, extremism in Sunday schools. So again, this is the big concern, that the Sunday schools ministering to 2.5% of Brits might miss their lessons on transgenderism. And that would be a huge concern for Amanda Spielman.
And for the government. Wow.
What Jesus says about this, I think, is critical. Woe to this world because of offenses.
Mm.
Woe to this world. Woe to Amanda Spielman.
Mm.
Woe to all the transgender schools in America. Woe to Amanda Spielman. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off, cast them from thee. It's better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And then also in Matthew 18, Jesus said, if anybody offend one of these least of these little ones who believes in me, it would be better for them that a millstone be hanged around their neck and they be drowned at the bottom of the sea. Amanda Spielman, take note.
Yeah, this is child abuse. We might as well say it. Transgender education is child abuse.
Well,
be it in England or in the United States, transgender education is child abuse. Parents need to stand up and say, this is child abuse. Are you going to pay for the counseling when my child reaches puberty after you've trained them in this perversion?
Are you going to pay for their tombstones? Are you going to pay for their graves?
Yes.
Are you going to pay for their burials?
Yes.
Half of kids who got regendered attempt suicide. No, this is the suicide of a society, friends. This is what it looks like. We'll be back in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast.
It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith, and it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson, and I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case. A historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent? The American Pilgrims and the Battle for King's Mountain. How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org.
We are back on the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson here with you as Amanda Spielman and the regulators of schools in England concerned about Sunday schools that may not be getting to the transgendered lessons for the 8-year-olds. And friends, this is what it looks like when the kingdoms of men, the empires of men, are fading away to oblivion. This is what it looks like at the very end of empires. The English Empire is over. Put a fork in it. It's over. It's done. But friends, this is where we are today. And Bill, this is what Francis Schaeffer would talk about when he talked about the line of despair. We have stepped over the line of despair.
As a culture, we have.
The line of despair is 20 feet over there.
Yep.
Our systems are over the line of despair. There is nothing but pessimism. Pessimism and suicide. That's all that's left in American public schools, in English public schools. There is a self-destructive epistemology working in the university systems in America and the Western world. Friends, there is nothing but a depressing pessimism that constitutes education in a fading world in which, of course, the debt-to-GDP ratios are sky high and the birth implosion rates are in the mud. Friends, this is where we are right now. There is no reason, there is no motivation, there is no optimism for the modern world to continue carrying on a civilization. And you can bet that the Gen Zer birth rates are going to be down around 0.3. And you can bet on the fact that our debt to GDP ratios are going to be upwards of 700, 800%. And we're going to see just all out worldwide depression over the next, say, 20, 30, 40 years. But that should not affect us. And Bill, we need to come back and we need to express an optimism cubed at this point. We need to come back and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is very much alive. He has risen from the dead, and he has a kingdom that will not pass away.
Yeah, we need to hold out a hand of hope to those who are in despair. And we can do that. We need to be very, very positive about the hope that we find in Christ and how he can transform individuals, and therefore individuals transform culture.
And it may not be affecting massive institutions, entire nations at this point. It may not affect the media at this point. It may not affect Hollywood at this point. But friends, the kingdom of Jesus Christ continues in our homeschools and our churches across this country. Absolutely. Now, one of the questions people have asked us is, why did we put $1 million into developing the Christian discipleship curriculum?
Why did you do that, Kevin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We sunk all kinds of resources into
this. You could have given me that money, you know?
But we decided not to.
You decided not to.
Right. First of all, Bill, because you didn't need it. But here's why. Because we wanted our children to have an optimistic view of the world. While the schools, the institutions, the governments of the Western world are sinking into pessimism and self-destruction and transgendered bathrooms, which just indicates a suicidal epistemology. Public education is already in self-destructive mode. They get their lessons in perversion. They get their lessons on how to destroy cultural unity, how to create class warfare, how to create massive discontentment with feminism. The kids are rooted and grounded in an epistemology, a system of pessimism, and a self-destructive form of knowledge. Friends, that's already where public education has gone. It's already self-destroying. We want for our kids an optimism. We want our curriculum to be outrageously optimistic, which means that we are not going to emphasize in our world history what Augustus Caesar did, what Napoleon did, what Lenin did, what Hitler did, what the British Empire did, what the American Empire did, what the great empire of Queen Victoria did. They're all gone. That's all gone, gone, gone. When empires come down, educational systems implode. When empires come down, people become depressed in the way they view literature, history, every aspect of life. And education, of course, will implode upon itself. But Christians need to maintain an optimism, a hope in the progress that Jesus has made in every country around the world over the last 2,000 years. Don't give your children curriculum replaying the old history of the empires of men that came and went, the great towers that were raised up and then broken down. Give them 5 minutes of the history of the kingdoms of men. I'll give it to you in 2 minutes. I'll give it to you in 30 seconds. Egypt builds its empire's pyramids so high, they fall down. The Greeks build their empire so high, it fell down. The Romans build their tower so high, they fall down. Just like your little two-year-old building their little his little tower out of bricks in the living room. What happens when he puts that very last little brick on the very, very top? The whole tower comes down. That's precisely what happened to the Spanish Empire, the French Empire, the English Empire, and then the American Empire. Don't give your children very much of the great empires of men that came and went, the great towers of men that went so high, and yet they just came right back down again because they were built on human pride. Give them 5 minutes of that, but tell them the history of what Jesus has done through the centuries. Give your children the history of the kingdom of God. Give them 4 years of church history, missionary history, where the empire history is in the background. Yeah, we mention Napoleon here. There's pictures of Napoleon here. There's Napoleon, right? I'm flipping through Taking the World for Jesus, our ninth grade history course for young kids. Friends, this is a beautiful presentation of the history of missions where the brave missionaries serving the Lord Jesus Christ comes and hits the shores of these pagan nations, but tremendous transformations occur as they do their amazing work. So yes, give Napoleon a page, but give Jesus the next 20 pages. In other words, the kingdom of Jesus needs to be in the foreground, whereas there's a little bit of the kingdom of men in the background because Jesus is operating in the foreground. Indeed, in the Apostles' Creed, there is a mention of Pontius Pilate. So yeah, I'm okay with including a mention of Pontius Pilate in the Apostles' Creed, because what Jesus is doing is happening in real history, in real time. But you need to give a little more airplay. You need to give a little more of the pages in your world history book to what Jesus is doing. It's a shame. It is a crying shame that your average American Christian kid in the average American Christian homeschool hasn't ever heard of Methodius and Cyril. They haven't heard of the Pigott family during the Boxer Rebellion. They haven't heard of W.B. Grubb in Paraguay, first missionary down into the Chaco Indian tribe in the 1880s, 1890s. They haven't heard about Frederick Arnott down the Congo, first missionary down the Congo. He was there for 3 years all by himself. Amazing story. Captain Alan Gardner with the Fuegians. John Williams building his boats to reach the New Hebridean Islands in the 1840s and 1850s. The Watsons in their amazing work with the Aborigines in Australia in the 1880s, 1890s. Melissa Rankin, tremendous woman of God who did incredible work with the Mexicans in the 1850s, first American to bring Bibles to the Mexicans and to smuggle them over the border and to fund early missionary work with indigenous male missionaries down in the area of Mexico. So if you haven't told these stories, let me guess, there are some people out there who've never heard of Melissa Rankin. There are some people out there who have never heard of Cyril Methodius. Some people out there have never heard of the Watson family down the with the Aborigines over near Sydney, Australia. There are people out there who haven't heard the greatest stories in all of world history. Yeah, they've heard of Napoleon. Who cares about Napoleon? Who cares about Augustus Caesar? Who cares about what Lenin did? Who cares about what George Washington did? What matters is what Jesus Christ has done over the last 2,000 years. You tell these stories to your children. You tell them what Jesus has done. You give them the most amazing stories in all of history, the transforming story. Let me ask you this. Did Napoleon transform human life and present a much better world? Or did Jesus do that through the work of his missionaries? The incredible transforming effect of Jesus upon the pagan tribes of Ireland under the missionary work of Patrick, or the incredible transformational work that Jesus did in Germany with men like Killian and his team that came down those rivers and began to minister in Würzburg and elsewhere. And Cyril Methodius, who were up on Mount Rathost, which, by the way, we climbed Mount Rathost about a year and a half ago as a family, because we wanted to see where Cyril Methodius cast down a Radagast god and stopped human sacrifice with the Moravians in eastern Czechoslovakia. We wanted to be there. We wanted to see it. But friends, have you told the story? Have you told the story how the Moravians were amazingly transformed by the translation of the word of God into the common language? And yes, Cyril and Methodius were put in prison by the Roman Pope for their pains, but they got out of prison and began to do more work in Poland and Russia and elsewhere, created the Cyrillic language and translated the word of God into the common tongue. And have you told your kids that it was the Moravians that were first discipled by Cyril and Methodius that insisted the word of God be preached in the common language down in Bethlehem Chapel? And it was Jan Hus who led the Moravians into the Reformation. If it wasn't for Jan Hus and the Moravians, there would have been no Martin Luther and a Reformation that transformed the entire world. Have you told your kids about the influence of the Moravians that came out of Jan Hus's ministry some 300 years later and moved over the border into Count von Zinzendorf's area? And von Zinzendorf, of course, gained an amazing vision for missionary work when he was 12 years of age, and he was in a missionary training center in northern Germany for about 6 or 7 years, and there gained a vision for missionary work, and then ran into the Moravians, who wanted to a little shelter in Herrnhut. And have you told your kids about how the Moravians formed the first Protestant missionary work around the world in the 1730s and became the vanguard for a missionary work that would eventually transform the lives of a billion people around the globe? Have you told your kids about the stories of how Jesus changed the world? Friends, I would encourage you to our book, Taking the World for Jesus, the remarkable story of the greatest commission of them all. This is the compendium of the most exciting, most thrilling, most inspiring stories in all of human history. Why? Because these are the stories of what Jesus has done in transforming the world. Bill, let me ask you this. Bill's just been listening to me as I've been waxing elephants.
Yep.
Bill, would you say that what Jesus has done in history is more impressive than what Napoleon did?
You know, we often, as Christians, say history is his story. And too often we concentrate, however, on those who have high profile, like a Napoleon.
Yeah.
But history is guided by those who are obedient to the Holy Spirit and people that you have mentioned, who have long disappeared into history, and maybe even those that you can't recall and have no knowledge of, who are anonymous in the annals of history, are on the wall of heroes in heaven. Amen. Because they were obedient to the cause of Christ, to the call on their lives to go and make disciples, to teach them to observe all that he commanded. It's not just the gospel, it is how do we live in accord with the biblical worldview? How do we think and live, and how do we transform culture to be a blessing? Christians are a blessing to culture. We stave off evil by proclaiming the gospel.
These are the absolutely indispensable stories of the kingdom of God. Friends, tell your children the stories, and the response twofold. Number one, they need to be thankful. They need to be optimistic. They need to be hopeful. They need to be praising God for the amazing things that he's done in history. And secondly, it should inspire them to follow in their footsteps. And I think that's what Bill was referring to. They need to be inspired to realize that they are now going to play a part in his story. They are now playing a part on the stage of human history in which God will use them as they submit themselves to the will of God and take on the commission themselves.
Yeah.
They will be the next in line to continue with this amazing vision of establishing the kingdom of God and discipling the nations for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, friends, let me encourage you again to taking the world for Jesus, the remarkable story of the greatest commission. It is a 400-page, four-color, glossy presentation of the most exciting, the most important, the most significant stories in all of human history over the last 2,000 years since Jesus rose from the dead and established his kingdom. You know, it also includes a review of the amazing Pentecostal outpourings of the Holy Spirit of God, which are probably the most exciting stories of all, because the Scottish Pentecost in the 1840s, where tens of thousands of people were showing up for the preaching of the word, and that amazing revival that happened under the auspices of William Burns. And then the Korean Pentecost in 1907, the Fiji Pentecost in the 1850s. Amazing, amazing to see how the outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God just transformed nations and did amazing work that would have ripple effects into the next hundreds and hundreds of years. Friends, these are the stories to tell in the history of the kingdom of God. It's called Taking the World for Jesus. It's a ninth grade course. We have a workbook for the entire course, but the stories are worth reading out loud. I just finished reading this out loud to my kids. They're 18 to 25 years of age, but I couldn't help but read it again for them. And my only problem with reading these stories is I break down. And whenever I'm starting to break down, I have a hard time finishing.
Yeah, you cry ugly.
I do.
Ugly.
I can't complete the story as I'm crying over the intensity, the wonder and the amazement of what Jesus is doing in transforming these nations for himself. So, friends, get a copy of Taking the World for Jesus. We have a special deal going on right now. Taking the World for Jesus, available at generations.org. or kevinswanson.com. Get the whole course or just get the basic text, Taking the World for Jesus. It's a 400-page, four-color, glossy presentation of the greatest stories in all of human history. Available at our website, generations.org or kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.